Welcome to the Upcycle Canada podcast. I'm Jennifer, and together with my husband Dave, we started with an idea, worked on it as a side hustle, and grew it into our first eco-friendly store. At Upcycle Canada, we repurpose, refinish, and reuse discarded items, giving them new life. Sit in on the conversation as we continue to grow from a small side hustle into something much more. Special guests will drop by and share their journey with you as well. This is the most eco-friendly small business podcast in your favorites. This is Upcycle Canada, where yesterday's items are reborn. Let's do this.
Okay, everybody. This is the first for the Upcycle Canada podcast. This is the first time ever that we're having an interview.
Wow.
Never had an interview before.
That's pretty awesome. So we have a guest?
Yes. Probably one of the most talented people I've ever met. One of the most amazing, kindest, sweetest, most gorgeous guests we've ever had.
Which nobody can see me at the moment, unless they know who I am.
Oh.
Oh, sorry. And was I talking about myself?
Oh, well.
How did I think that this was about me?
Wow. Of you.
Very presumptuous.
You're so vain. You think this podcast is about
me.
You. To quote that song. You're so vain. Yeah, actually, it is about you.
So it is about me. Okay.
Jennifer Campbell.
Yes.
Welcome.
Thank you.
To the Upcycle Canada podcast.
It is an honor to be
welcome
here today.
Welcome.
Thank you.
And the crowd does a little clap.
Yeah. I'm thrilled to be here today.
How was the green room? Was the streets nice before you came on
the
podcast?
Yes, and the water was just the perfect temperature.
The water was perfect temperature. Did you get the M&Ms?
Yes.
Yeah, the M&Ms were nice.
Yes.
Well, welcome.
The green and blue ones were
the
my
green
favorite.
And blue.
Yes.
Welcome to the Upcycle Canada podcast. Have you heard of us before?
I have. Yes. I am so excited to be
great.
Here today.
Great, Jen. Welcome.
Thank
I hope
you.
You're comfortable. We're gonna dive into a little bit of your story and kind of who you are and all that great stuff.
Wonderful.
And we hope that you enjoy your time here.
Thank you.
On the Upcycle
I'm
Canada
looking forward to it.
Podcast. It's awesome.
Thank you for letting me be here.
All right.
I
so, right off the bat.
Yes.
Let's do this.
Okay.
Tell everybody listening one cool fact from your backstory, from your history, that people will be like, what? What?
That can't be real.
No, what? But it is real. It did actually happen.
Right.
Right?
Yes.
So I thought this was the coolest thing ever. Maybe back up a little bit in the story a little bit to kind of take us there.
Okay.
What year, roughly?
So I was 21.
21, okay.
Yes. I was in New York City with my college group. We had gone for a weekend trip to New York City to do some stuff for school. And we were at Staten Island. We had taken the ferry across. And we were at Staten Island. It was later in the day. It was a bit cold, actually, because I think it was in December when I went. But we were on the Staten Island. We were just walking around. I did the whole stairs all the way up to the top of the Statue of Liberty and did a little window across her forehead and did a wave out to the world and then walked right back down. So there was like, if it was only a slide, it could have been really cool to just slide all the way back down because it's a lot of stairs going up.
I don't think it was meant to be a theme park. But
no. But anyway, when we went back outside, we're out on the platform waiting for the ferry to come back. And we realized there's this like sort of like a movie shoot going on, and we started to realize that it was Ghostbusters.
Oh my god.
The movie Ghostbusters, and all the cast was there, plus
so Stan who was there?
Well, the person that I met officially is Sigourney Weaver.
But
Bill Murray, Dan Aykroyd, Annie Potts, and I don't remember all the other people's names, but I saw them all. The whole cast and crew were there. Film crew.
So they're on the island.
So
with
they're
you.
On the island, Staten Island, with me,
and then
with
what
my
happens?
Group. And so we get all. There's one ferry left back to Manhattan. So we had to all get on the same boat, not really paying attention to the fact that that was the case, and we were on the last ferry back for the night. And while I'm standing there, I'm like, oh my gosh, there's Sigourney Weaver standing there. I'm like, I should get my picture taken. So I went up and asked her, and I realized, holy cow, she's really tall.
So Sigourney Weaver, if you're listening to the Upcycle Canada podcast, Jen says hi.
Thank you. Yes, and thank you for that moment, that monumental moment in my life.
So we'll post that on our social media.
Yes.
And so I think it'd be kind of cool for people to see.
I think it's pretty cool. So, I mean, she was really sweet. She just said, yes, somebody.
If you want to be on the show, just reach out to Jen. I know you guys have a relationship now.
Yes. You've met. Yes, we've met.
You've met our first interviewing. Yeah. But, Sirgoni, we would love to have you on the episode. So, anyway.
So anyway, you know, we did sort of the starstruck moment, you know, of like, oh, my gosh, I stood beside her and I got my photo. And I told my friends to kind of creep. They were in the other part of the boat on the other side of the glass. And I said, you know, kind of like photobomb the picture. And so my friends are in the photo behind the glass, like waving and smiling. So it's not just me that was in the photo with her. So
within your area where you were on the ferry, well, who else did you see?
Well, so as we were making our way out, once we docked, we realized that Dan Aykroyd and Bill Murray, and they were all like just sort of making the crowd laugh.
Okay, so let's just say this too. Dan Aykroyd, I know you're listening. Bill Murray, what about Bob? Did he actually say, I'm sailing?
I don't know if that movie had been out yet.
No, okay. Maybe that was the precursor to that.
Maybe.
But if you guys are interested, again, you met Jen on the ferry, possibly, or you'd seen
Well, you might have seen me in one of the
hanging out with Sigourney Weaver, hobnobbing it. If you're interested in being on the show, guys.
Please.
Dan Aykroyd has a winery.
Yes, he does.
In Niagara.
That's right. Which
so, again, Dan, we're here in Niagara.
We're not far.
We'll support your wine.
We drink wine. Store. We drink wine.
And Bill, come on.
Bill Murray's just...
He's a classic.
Amazing. Yeah, absolutely.
Groundhog Day.
So many.
What about Bob is my favorite.
I know. I'm saying...
So you met Sigourney Weaver.
Yep. So I was maybe 5-10 feet from all of them, just standing in the crowd waiting to get off the boat.
That's an amazing story.
And so... But the thing was, is like, I'm only 21 and I'm just sort of starstruck and I'm like, I've seen you in movies, you know? And like, not just for Sigourney, I'd seen her in other movies. And so not just Ghostbusters. So that made me, I'd never seen the Ghostbusters movie that I was aware of at that point.
Funny.
So now I was like, I have to watch this and see what part of the movie this was that they were filming when we were on the island. And it's actually the last, like through the credits, it's the last little bit of the, when the helicopter flies away and you see the Staten Island there. But just the fact that like, I wished I'd known then what I know now and not be so nervous and just be a little more aware of who these people are. And I mean,
and they're
famous people, but they're still just people. And it's like, just to have maybe taken more opportunity to just say hi. And, you know, after the photo that I had with Sigourney, I was just like, oh, I should have asked her this, or I should have said that. And, you know, and, but the nerves get you when you're in the middle of it. And it's, you just sort of like all giddy. So,
what a great story, though.
Yeah. So, I mean, it was just a cool opportunity. I have the photo and
we'll
definitely share it. So,
that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Okay, so now that we got all that through, again,
that starts
any of the cast, if you're interested,
yes,
please let us know.
Send us an email.
We would love to hear from you guys, because we know you're listening. So, or if you know them, share this podcast with them.
There you go.
And they'll hear the story again and remember Jen. Probably.
Maybe.
Because
I'm the one that got the picture taken. She didn't. She didn't take one, too.
Well, maybe.
You know.
Never know. Anyway.
She's very nice.
So we're going to be talking about Jen today, all things Jen in our interview. So maybe a little bit of your backstory, Jen, you know, without having to go too deep, because what we want to kind of focus on is how we can take some of the things we've learned in our background, how we've applied it to our business, but then how we can apply it, hopefully, and give some maybe a life lesson. I know you have a quote, but something that would apply to people in their day-to-day, whether they're at work, going to work, doing a side hustle, all that kind of stuff, right?
Right.
We can kind of take our backstory and maybe there's something, a nugget in there that people could use even today.
Yeah.
Right? Something that means something to you that could possibly mean something to them.
Right.
So
exactly.
Take us back a little bit
and
kind of bring us up to today.
All right. So I guess I'll start with the fact that my first job, I was 15, and it was retail. And so for many, many years... even up till recently, so a good 35 years worth of customer service, retail, and just a lot of that experience since I was 15. So that is where I started. And then for college, I did go to visual merchandising arts, which actually opened up a lot of opportunities for me. As far as being a visual person, I like to learn with hands-on. When I was younger, and even still, I'm nosy. And I'm just nosy. And I love to see how people make things. I've always wanted to help with my parents when I was a kid. I always wanted to stir the pot. I wanted to see what my dad was up to. How do you make that? How do you do that? What are you doing? And they were both, my parents were both very hands-on people that fixed things, you know, and they were the fixer-upper kind of couple. And so I was always learning from them and how to do stuff. So I liked to get in the middle of stuff. I was always hands-on. Just kind of, you know, what's next? What's the next step? How did you do that? Where'd you start? Can I cut that? And so for me, it was fun just having that opportunity. And my parents let me learn and fail. And I've hurt myself different times. But, you know, I learned from it. I grew from it. I found out what worked better, what ways did and didn't work for making things. I love to color and paint. And so when I went to school for visual merchandising arts, that gave me a lot of opportunity to other jobs that I worked at that gave me opportunity for teaching and painting and being crafty. And so I have worked at a very large American craft store that is also in Canada and worked there for a number of years, management role for most of it. And I was able to, I was in charge of the teachers and the classes that were run there. And so that gave me a lot of opportunity to do birthday parties and gave me opportunity to just teach. And I learned from the other teachers. I learned from them just organizing how things were run and just about a business and just managing people and managing the store. And, you know, that kind of stuff just gave me just a good round understanding of management and how businesses work.
So fast forward now to your current position.
Right.
So you started at this current warehouse position where you're at right now.
Yes.
As a part-time person.
Right? Yeah, because I had two other part-time jobs. Yeah. So this was going into this job that I have now was my third part-time job.
And then it eventually became your full-time job.
Became full-time after almost 2 years, though. I had to fight for that one because they weren't busy. And no. So it was a struggle to get even the full-time hours, which gave me benefits.
If there's somebody listening to this and they are in a part-time position, maybe they're in a similar role where they have multiple part-time jobs and just trying to find something a little more secure, what kind of tips would you give to somebody who's trying to land a full-time role, even just in where they are? What would you suggest to them on how to become noticed at work?
For me, I know that just volunteering myself when opportunities came up. So where I work now, we have this extra little sort of staff run little thing we do on a weekly basis, just little events that we'll sort of host for the other staff to sort of bring in some joy and some fun and entertainment.
Like a 50-50 draw.
Yeah, 50-50 draws. We'll have like
Christmas party.
Yep. So we'll buy gift cards maybe for Mother's Day and Father's Day. And so we'll have tickets bought for stuff like that.
And the staff does this, not the leadership.
So yeah, it's all staff run. So when I first started, this was going and I asked if I could volunteer to be part of that group.
What was the response?
Well, they're like, oh, yeah, absolutely. You know, of course, because I thought being part time, maybe they didn't want me to. But that was sort of the initial part of it. I found that from previous jobs that I've had in the past two, I was also a trainer. And so once I knew my role, what I did, I asked if I could be a trainer because they needed more people to do that. And so I kind of tried to put myself out there that I wanted to learn more. I wanted to be cross-trained in other departments so that I was able to be more versatile, had more opportunities. Some people didn't, that wasn't their thing. They didn't want to learn. They didn't like being shifted around. And I was okay to have all those changes. And so for me, putting myself out there and making myself known to management at the time that I wanted to learn more, they thought that was a great opportunity for them as well, because then if they needed someone, somebody called in sick, you know, I was kind of a backup person for multiple reasons. So
now you've grown this now from part-time to being full-time in your role.
Yes.
You're working away, you're doing your thing, and the opportunity comes up to be a leader.
Exactly.
Within your team.
That's right.
So your coworkers now, because you've been promoted, your coworkers report to you, but you've built a relationship over time in all the different roles and all the different things you've done. So what kind of advantage is it for you and your coworkers to have you in this role rather than a stranger
right.
stepping into your current role as a leader at your work now.
Right. So to start with, I know sometimes when you see, when you're applying for jobs, a lot of places will say, you know, 3 to 5 years experience is kind of minimum. I've realized now that I've had a couple jobs where I've been there for more than 5 years, that is a huge benefit for an employer to hire you if you have that knowledge. Because for me, I was in my role for 6 years doing what I do to be promoted in that same department. I knew what some of the heartaches were on the regular staff, the things that they had to deal with, the things that they saw, how they perceived things. I had sort of an inside scoop on all of that and was able to, now I was often that person that people would come to anyway, because I had asked to be a trainer. So I was already training people and doing, you know, new staff members would come in and I would be the first person that would be their sort of person, not even the person in charge. I was their person that they would come to. So
you build a relationship.
So I already built that relationship with all the new people and I was just one of them.
Yeah.
So now to be in charge of all of those people, it's been such a great opportunity to know what's expected, to give them the easy road. Like I'll give them the hints and share, you know, the mistakes that people have made and what to do and not to do. And I've seen them succeed time and time again. And it feels good to be responsible for those things and to see them succeed. And you know right away if they're going to get it or understand it. And it's great to see people succeed. And I feel like sometimes being a woman in leadership, there's a lot of men that I work with. And for me, I feel like I'm a mom sometimes. Like the mom in me comes out and I want to, you know, there's opportunities that have come up where I had to discipline. And I felt like the mom in me came out a couple times because a lot of these people I work with are as old as my children. So yeah. They could be my children. So you know, it comes up. And then that pride is like, oh, I taught them how to do that. And you want to go check in them, like, you know, just checking in with your kids to see how they're doing in their day. And it's a neat opportunity to.
So if you're making the leap then from being a coworker into being a leader now,
right,
where your coworkers now report to you, it can be a little bit weird because, you know, we've had conversations. I've told you what I think of management, and now you're management.
And now I'm always.
It's like, oh no, all the things I said to you, A, I regret, or I'm fearful that you're going to use it against me.
Right.
So what kind of, how do you continue to build bridges with employees that have been there longer than you?
Right.
Who maybe feel like someone else could be doing your job.
Right.
But how do you kind of build that bridge and build a team around you when there are people who cheer for you and maybe there's some people who
could care less if I was. Yeah.
How do you strengthen that kind of team environment?
I think, first of all, understanding and knowing them for the previous 6 years has helped me know, you know, what kind of personalities everyone has. I've also had opportunity for training since I've become in management to understand people's being that, as they call it, bud to boss or peer training, to now all of a sudden I'm in charge of these people. And the hardest part for me initially was the fact that I had the authority to tell them what to do. Mm. That was a big thing for me to, you know, people would come to me for suggestions and advice and, you know, am I doing this okay? But at the same time now I'm like, okay, you know, you can't leave early. And like, just to have that authority and to realize I'm allowed to say those things and I have support from my management team.
Yeah. I think that's the thing a lot of people don't understand in a role and then moving into a supervisor role is moving into that supervisor role. You now see things in a different perspective. You're now privy to information that other people don't know.
Exactly.
And you are held to a different standard.
That's right.
And without having to give every single minute detail of why we have to do this task and do this now, you understand because your leaders have told you what needs to be done.
Right.
You're responsible to get it done.
Exactly.
And you have to communicate that through your team so that they meet the goal, right?
Right.
How did you develop your leadership style now as a boss?
So I think one thing I noticed from previous management in my, when I wasn't management, was being recognized for what you do. So, you know, when you just tell somebody that you appreciate them can be huge, or thanking them for something. So, you know, not necessarily getting that myself in the past, I've realized that that is important, and it goes a long way to just tell somebody that you appreciate what they've done.
Don't know what people are dealing with in their personal life, right?
We all have.
They all pull in the parking lot on a Monday morning.
Yeah.
They might have had an amazing weekend. They might have had a terrible weekend.
Exactly.
And you all come in and you punch in and you go to your positions and you start your meeting and you start your day. You have a group of people around you that somebody might have passed away. Somebody might have had a fight with their spouse. Yeah. Somebody's child is sick and they're thinking about them all day.
Exactly.
I can't make my car payment this week. Like, there's so many different things that could be going on in people's back of their story.
Exactly. Yeah.
That if you just assume that everybody's gung ho Monday morning, hey people, let's go.
That's right.
It's like, you know, you don't really know.
No.
Right. So I think that having legitimate relationship building moments.
Yes.
Definitely. Where it's not fake or forced, but it's kind of nice, I guess, growing up with the company and your position.
Exactly.
That you didn't just show up one day and there's our new boss and right. I don't even know who she is. Will she like me? Will she be tough on me?
Right. I believe I've had people challenge me, you know, just to see if I'll step up and be the authoritative voice. I've also been the one to be completely supportive from them. Like, if there's something's come up, I'm there behind them saying, no. And I'll be their support if there's a problem. Yeah. So I'm right there beside them. I know what works and doesn't work and what frustrates them. Because it used to frustrate me. So to be that encouragement for them and support, just, you know, to know that maybe that wasn't there for me necessarily to the same extent, I'm just glad that I can be there. So actually I wanted to share my quote.
Then, yeah, because I think you mentioned it before, you have one of our signs
that's
that
right.
you made.
That's right.
From us, just a that's piece right. of 2x4.
That's right. So my sign is on my desk right in the front corner. So I'm basically where I'm located in my warehouse is the center. So every department pretty much walks by my desk, whether they're going for lunch, coming back to the washroom, whatever. I'm kind of a main traffic area. And so everybody sees it. And it says, "You got this." So that
simple.
Is my quote. Simple, you got this. And so basically I put it up there for it to be just that subtle encouragement. I didn't have to say anything, but they could read it and go, "You got this." And it's almost like a reminder to them and to myself, you know, just like when you're having that bad Monday morning, and to read that and go, and I've moved it because I think people got used to seeing it in certain spots.
Good.
So I've moved
that's
it
smart.
A few times so that people be like, "Where'd that sign go?"
You key know, and trick to retail.
That's right.
Just
rearranging, merchandising.
Yeah. It was here. It's over there.
That's right.
I like to buy it now.
So, yep. So that alone, that little, "You got this." I have a few people that love it. They say it out loud every time they walk by, like, "You got this." And I'm like, "Yes, you do." You know, and just, it's a subtle little encouragement that I, you know, wanted people to feel that, you know, every day is, you know, you have good days, bad days throughout the different pandemic or whatever's going on in our lives. You know, whether you've lost someone, you can just know that you got this. And, you know, today might be a hard day, but, you know, you're going to get through it and you'll get through it.
So that takes us to the quote then.
Yes. It
expands on the "You got this."
That's right.
So
this is by Little Nibby. It says, "Sometimes strength within you is not a big fiery flame for all to see. It's just a tiny spark that whispers ever so softly, 'You got this, keep going.'" So it's just, you know, we all have that little spark inside us, that big, you know, whether you feel like it's, you're not insignificant or for whatever reason, everybody has that spark. And so even though you don't think it's a big, you know, it's a big deal, you know, some days you just know that, like, you got this, like, you can keep going, and that little flame will just only get bigger the steps you take towards your passion or towards your desires. And, you know, for us would be for our business.
Yeah, that little thing, little spark could be your idea.
That's right. And so.
And be in the moment.
Be in the moment.
Right? Don't be Don't be a spectator in your life. Be a participant in your life. Your life is like a sports event, a hockey game, a football, soccer, whatever it is, badminton, whatever, table tennis.
Yeah.
You have a choice whether you're going to be in the spectators gallery or you're going to get out on the field.
That's right.
Right. And in your life and in your daily experiences, you can sit back and watch life happen or you can actively participate.
Right.
Right. And in that moment when you were on that ferry with Bill Murray and all these guys and Sigourney, and it's like, there's other people on that ferry that took no advantage of that moment.
No.
Right? None.
No.
Not they didn't interact with them, didn't care.
No.
Ghostbusters who? They don't care, right? They just want to get home and have dinner.
Yeah.
Right? It's like, do you not know who you're standing beside?
Exactly.
That's Bill Murray.
Yeah.
Eh.
Yeah.
I don't watch movies.
No.
It's like, what? I don't care if you don't watch a movie. That's Bill Murray.
That's right.
Come on. Right? So live in the moment, enjoy the moment, be aware of the moments that happen, right?
Yes.
And that's where I think you can reduce a lot of regrets in life.
I know.
Is when you don't let those moments pass you by. Tell your story.
That's right.
Podcasting.
Exactly.
Tell your story.
Just
don't go through life and go, you know what? I had an opportunity to speak to somebody in the Philippines and in Poland, and I didn't do it because there was something better on TV that night. No, don't regret the moment. Just go.
No.
Right?
Yeah.
Just do it. And everything, you know, Jen, you got this.
That's right.
You got this, Jen.
Well, the one thing that I just remember, too, you might be challenged on a daily basis of different things. And for me, like with you listening to the podcast, that challenge for me was to, hey, you know, what do I need to do? I need to step up. I need to participate more in the business and realize, you know, I'm just as much a part of this business as you are.
Sure.
You know, and like we mentioned the other episode about you don't know how much or how much you don't know until you start talking. And so you start to realize, you know, that, wow, like I have input in this, you know, this business, and I've learned things, and some of the stuff I know you don't.
Yep.
And we work together. I think we're a great team. And so
you know what? You are the very first interview, Jen, here on the Upcycle Canada podcast. And I think this is probably next to the next episode where I'm getting interviewed. This right now, as of the time of recording, this is the best interview we've ever had.
Yes.
Sadly, next episode is probably going to be a little
It's going better. To be another best.
Oh, another best.
Yeah.
So there's two bests.
There's two besties.
Everyone gets an award.
That's right.
Yes.
We both get dinner.
We both have to eat anyway. So what do you want to leave people with?
I guess there would just be the challenge of not being afraid to take that step outside your comfort zone. I think everybody needs to stretch themselves just that little bit. I've had to do it. I mean, being in the role that I'm in now, I totally thought, oh my gosh, like, what am I in for? I've been in management in other companies, and I liked to teach people, but leadershipness, you know, always was that fear of, oh, you know, and now I have to be responsible. So there's a lot of responsibilities put on me for that reason, but it's also stretched me to be a better person, challenged me. So I'm challenging you just to don't be afraid to try something new.
Put yourself out there.
Put yourself out there. Tell people that, you know, hey, I really like to do this. Just go. Just start and just get there.
And like you said, a wise person knows what they don't know.
That's right.
So if you know that you're lacking in a certain area in life, go after it. Don't be afraid of it.
Yeah.
Go after it.
That's right.
Conquer it.
Yeah. Like social media for me was a big thing that I've struggled with when it comes to like the computers.
Yeah.
And even my phone, just navigating. It's such a struggle for me.
So we're going to talk about that. We're going to have a whole episode for like social media for people who don't like social media.
Yeah. And that would be me. That would be me.
So it's like right down to like, what is a hashtag?
Yeah.
Like there's people who just don't even know what that is.
Like what's the importance
growing up
them?
For us? That was a pound sign.
Yeah.
So like, So like, let's just go right down to the very simple basics of it. And that'll be another episode coming up. So
cool.
So yeah, next week.
I'm looking forward to hearing about you.
Well, I am too.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I might learn something.
I know.
So, and again, just a reminder that we're having a little contest, Jen and I, that the episode that gets the most listens between her episode right now and my episode next time.
Yes.
The one with the most listens gets to pick the meal.
That's right.
So I love pizza, so I'm hoping everyone will rally behind me so that I can get my choice, which is pizza.
Yes.
So anyways, that's right. Kind of what's heading.
That's
so
where we're
thank
headed.
You, Jen. Thank you did a great job for your interview.
Thank you.
And Sigourney Weaver. We would love to hear from you.
Yeah. Wouldn't that be weird?
That'd be a reunion.
A reunion. Wow. It's been about plenty of years.
Yeah, plenty of years.
I'm not even going to go there.
Thanks, guys, for listening, and
thank
we
you.
Will talk to you in the next one.
Alrighty. Take care.
Okay.
This has been the Upcycle Canada podcast. Thanks for listening today. We appreciate your feedback and would love to connect with you. Email your questions, comments, or suggestions to upcyclecanadapodcast@gmail.com. To find out more about our business and access links to all our social media sites, podcast notes, and more, please visit upcyclecanada.ca. This is a listener-supported podcast. If you're interested in supporting us, please head over to patreon.com/upcyclecanada. and select a monthly tier that works for you. A 5-star review on the podcast app of your choice is always appreciated. Thank you to Jacob Moon for our instrumental backing track for this podcast. Please visit jacobmoon.com for more on this talented Canadian artist. Join us again for more great topics, ideas, and practical steps to help you in your daily life. Thank you for listening. Let's keep this conversation going.